right.
So.
Different story. We have intermittent feedback, continuous feedback, and corrective feedback. So intermittent feedback is every time you get it right, I flip a coin. If it's heads, I tell you you did great. If it's tails, I don't tell you anything. Continuous feedback, every time you do well, I tell you you did well. Corrective feedback, every time you do well, I ignore you. Every time you do badly, I tell you you do badly. Okay? When we plot the data, we get this. And if you look at the data, it looks like this is linear and both of these are quadratic. The point for plotting the data here is that you would not say that these three groups have the same practice function. Yeah, they're both positive linear, but there's a difference between a lot happens before you get any growth and immediate growth that levels out. And notice that all of this is well below threshold. All of this is well below physical asymptote. So we're going to center practice at its average. We're going to come up with two dummy codes. The first of which compares, this is why I code things the way I do, because I can't remember from the top of the slide to the middle of the slide. So the first one compares intermittent to corrective, and the second pairs continuous to corrective. There's our interaction terms. And then here are our nonlinear terms, which we'll get to. Somebody asked about comparing models. It might have been you. You're a reasonable one to blame for questions being asked.
You're a reasonable one?
You're a reasonable person to blame for questions being asked. This is set up as a linear model. Got my two dummy codes, my centered practice, and my linear interaction terms. And then this second is going to add to it the quadratic terms. Depending upon where you read and when you read, there are different definitions of parsimony. The more common definition of parsimony is to go in the order main effects, linear interactions, then quadratic terms. If you're reading in an area that talks about interactions, if you're reading in areas where they don't tend to do interactions, then the parsimonious progression is linear terms, quadratic terms. And then if they ended up with interactions, adding the interactions in. The order in which you enter things won't influence the final model. Hold desperately on to that. When we're done putting our eight variable model together, it's going to be the same model no matter how we got there. But as we add things in multiple steps, what's already in the model influences whether an intermediate step shows an improvement over a different intermediate step. And so if we were to start out with just the main effects, then add the interaction, then add the quadratic, we may get a different impression about whether the quadratic improves anything than if we started with the main effects, then added the quadratic, then added the interaction of both types. So you just have to be careful. Remember, when it's all done, it's all done. Doesn't matter how you got there. But if you have a multiple step version, how you step those off does influence what you think you see. So here we have a main effects model that accounts for about 90% of the variance, which is significant. We have a second model which adds the quadratic terms, which only adds about 5% of variance, but is statistically significant even with a small sample size. when we add those terms in, you can see that there are some changes that we care about. For example, the group differences at the average performance are larger in the same direction, but larger in the quadratic model than in the linear model. That suggests that the linear model leads to an underestimation of the effect. There is no linear interaction term in the linear model, which only kind of makes sense here because those aren't the same three lines. But the way those lines are different isn't their slope, it's their curve. And so if we only look at a linear model, we would conclude there is no interaction between practice and group. And we would be wrong, because there is. When we put those interaction, those quadratic interaction terms in, there's still no linear interaction, but there is a quadratic interaction. The groups have different curves. This walks through for you the way we did up here, showing where every piece is, where every piece comes from, what it means, how they aggregate, the specific kind of information provided by each. There's the written out, what it really means. Here's the plot of the linear model. There's the plot of the quadratic model. Interestingly different than the linear model. This obviously can't go on forever. So if we had more practices, eventually this thing would peak and would tell us that we probably want to take a look at the quadratic or at the cubic term to see if something that we can get the model to bend that back around to all reasonable values. And because this is what we expect. In fact, that has a name. It's called a learning curve. And it turns out if you go back and look at most of the research done in the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s that gave us what we call a learning curve, it was happening under corrective feedback conditions. That was, a lot of that was before we really had a working theory of response acquisition curves for different kinds of reinforcement. And the most common thing was what is now called continuous reinforcement. And that's when you get the fastest, deepest learning curve.
If you were to explore the cubic curve, would you say it will apply to the group?
Yeah. For example, this, what you might find if you put that cubic term in there is that these converge instead of this blowing back past. Because this is a little disconcerting. Because we randomly assigned people. So we don't expect a difference at zero. But we have a difference at zero. So either we have a failure of initial equivalence from random assignment, or we've undermodeled. Does that help? Okay. Yeah, because we're not anywhere near zero. But we do have some... This could, yeah, and this also is going to suggest that the intermittent feedback eventually to overinterpret causes a motivational problem, which there's no evidence of in other areas. This sucker should eventually even out or actually give more of a rise. So it could be that what we need is another inflection point here that drives this up. And then it levels out. And so it's always a good idea to look at this and say, you know, what matters? Really low levels of practice, hardly matters. Really high levels of practice, hardly matters. Most people don't find themselves in a situation where they give either one or 12 practices. And if you're only going to get 5 or 6 practices, it matters. Which is an interaction. Is there a practice effect? Sometimes. Maybe. It depends. Yeah. You got a hand going. Okay.